This is Pastor Jeff Pipa from Revolution Church here in Salina, Kansas. You can find us online at revo.church, that's R-E-V-O.church. You're about to listen to our sermon from this past Sunday. Hope you enjoy it, and you can always find more at revo.church, that's R-E-V-O.church.
All right, I'm glad to be here today. We are going to finish our Risk is Right series today. We've been doing this for 11 weeks. This is our final one. Before we get into that, though, I just want to remind you that next week, we got a really special guest coming. World famous guy, his name's Dr. Jay Smith. He's worked with Muslims for over 40 years. For 25 of those years, he worked in London. A lot of what he would do, he would go into London. If you don't know what Speaker's Corner is, it's this large square out in the public, and people will have debates out there. And so he would get up on a ladder, and he would preach about Jesus, and he would preach about how Islam was leading people astray. And some people ask me, why are we doing this thing next week where we're talking about Islam versus Christianity? Like, shouldn't we respect all religions? Well, if someone's following Islam, they're following a false prophet, Muhammad, and they don't know Jesus. Jesus said, I am the only way, the only truth, and the life. If someone wants to come to God the Father, they have to go through Jesus. And it's important for us to know, especially as Islam grows in the United States, how to answer these objections. And Jay is the best of the world. So he would get on this ladder and he would preach about why Islam is off track and why Christianity is right. And man, this guy has probably received more death threats than all of us combined. He's gotten beat up, physically attacked for preaching Christianity in a Muslim majority area. He's spoken here before, probably about 10 years ago. He's really interesting to listen to. So at the very least, come and listen to him on Sunday morning, then come back Sunday night. He's gonna give a whole thing Sunday evening about the origins of Islam, where it came from, and how it's different than Christianity, and kind of compare the two, and then we'll be able to ask any questions we want. But today's sermon, we're back in Risk is Right. Today is about you. Because God actually has his eye on you. God has a plan for you, and you want to be within God's plan. Now, we've been saying through this whole series, risk is right. Well, everybody, please say that with me. Risk is right. And the other thing we've said multiple times is that doing right is risky. Let's say that one. Doing right is risky. And we've learned lots of things. Among the things we've learned were risk is actually supposed to be normal. If you're a Christian, you should be taking risks for God. Risk involves letting go of your expectations for life. And risk requires totally obeying God, even if you're a little scared to do it. But as we end this series, I want to ask the question, what does God want you to do specifically? You. Like, what is the risk that you should go out and take? Are you supposed to stay in your current job? Does God want you to go back to school? Should you quit your job and become a missionary? Are you supposed to serve in the church somewhere and volunteer? Are you supposed to change where you're doing in the church? Are you supposed to be out somewhere else doing something? Like, the question is, what does God want you to do when it comes to risk taking? In fact, you got a sheet of paper on your chair or in the chair in front of you. Take that sheet of paper and let's fill in the blanks here. What does God want me to do? That's the question that we're wrestling with today. You can fill that blank out, just write in these words. Right? How does God want me to serve him? What risk should I take? What job? Should I go into ministry? How much of a plan should I make? We're going to answer all these questions for you today so that you can stay on track with the Lord. Because if you could figure out what direction to move in, you'd feel a lot more confident. Okay, God has told me I have direction from God that I'm making the right decision. But if you don't get this today, you might feel aimless. And some of you have felt aimless before. You don't like that feeling. Some of you have been aimed very clearly in the wrong direction. Anyone ever been there before? Oh my goodness. You don't want to be aimed in the wrong direction. You don't want to be aimless. So today we're going to talk about how to know what God wants you to do. So let's hit this and go into it. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. So we got a Bible like this somewhere on your chair or the chair in front of you, just right underneath it. Go ahead and grab this Bible. If you've never used a Bible before, it is no problem. Super easy. Turn to that page number. And if you're using this Bible, it'll be on that page. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. When you get there, you'll see the big 16. Big numbers are chapter numbers, little numbers are verses. So we're gonna go to that big 16, and you go down until you find that little tiny number 5. Now, as you're turning there, the guy who wrote this, anyone know who wrote the book of 1 Corinthians? That's right, Paul wrote it. Paul, he's the one who started the church in the town called Corinth. So he started this church, and now years later, he's writing them a letter because the church in Corinth was so messed up. They had all kinds of problems. So he had to write them multiple letters to try to correct their behavior and the way they thought about God. So this is one of the letters he wrote to them. So here we go, chapter 16, verse 5. And we're going to read all the way through verse 12. After I, Paul, go through Macedonia, I will come to you. For I will be going through Macedonia. Perhaps I will stay with you for a while, or even spend the winter, so that you can help me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. I hope to spend some time with you if the Lord permits. But I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost, because a great door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many who oppose me. When Timothy comes, see to it that he has nothing to fear while he's with you, for he's carrying on the work of the Lord just as I am. No one then should treat him with contempt. Send him on his way in peace so that I may return to me, so that he may return to me. I'm expecting him along with the brothers. Now, about our brother Apollos. I strongly urged him to go to you with the brothers. He was quite unwilling to go now, but he will go when he has the opportunity. Okay. That's the little section we got there. And at first, it's like, okay, Pastor, what the heck are we reading that for? That has nothing to do with God telling me where to go and discover a plan for my life. That was just this Paul guy telling people what he thought he might do for the next few months. Well, listen to what he says, because this is going to be a principle, but not a command, okay? Paul is giving some principles. We all say principles. Paul is giving some principles, not commands. A command is, do not murder. That's a command, right? A principle is, here's what someone in the Bible did, the Apostle Paul, a really good guy, and he's going to live his life in a certain way, and we should probably follow his pattern of living. And so we're going to learn some principles about doing what God wants and taking the right risks. Now, if you're new here, we've read that whole section of Scripture. Now we're going to go through it verse by verse to understand it. So Paul says, after I go through Macedonia, so this is a province, it's kind of like a state, you know, you could say Kansas, right? After I go through Kansas, I will come to you, for I'll be going through Kansas. Right? Perhaps, so here's, perhaps I will stay with you for a while, or even spend the winter, so that you can help me on my journey, wherever I go. All right, this is an interesting little paragraph here. Does this sound like Paul is being really confident, like, I know what God wants me to do and I'm going there and you can't stop me? Or is Paul kind of like, I got some ideas. Like if you were to say from a scale from 1 to 10, 10 being like the most confident he's ever been, like where would you put this? 5, right? Like he's got some plans. Like I'm going through Macedonia. I'm going to be gone. Maybe I'll stay. I might stay a while. Maybe I'll stay the winter. Wherever I go, like, so he's going through Macedonia, this province. Perhaps, he uses that word, he's got some flexibility. Maybe I'll even stay the winter. Why? So you can help me. I think that's kind of funny for Paul to do. He's like, I'm coming to your house. I might stay for 6 months and you will help me. Okay, Paul. All right. Almost all the points that we're going to see today fall in this verse. There are 5 P's of knowing what and where to go for God. And they're all in here, even though this doesn't look like Paul's very confident. You'll see them as we go. Here are the 5 P's of knowing where to go. First, pray. Second, plan. Third, push. Fourth, pivot. And fifth, you do it with God's people. There's the P, okay. So pray, plan, push, and pivot with God's people. If you're new here and you're like, why do we keep saying things out loud? It's because when you say stuff out loud, it helps you remember better, helps you engage more. So let's just say this pray, plan, push, and pivot with God's people together, okay? Pray, plan, push, and pivot with God's people. And we're going to find each of these, except for the prayer one, in today's verses. You're going to see Paul living each of these out. Now we're adding prayer because I am 100% certain that Paul prayed about what to do. If you read the Bible, Paul mentions prayer over 50 times, even though he didn't mention it in these 2 verses. We know Paul was a man of prayer. So we're going to start with prayer. Let's write this down. Prayer. Paul is a man of constant prayer, seeking God's help, wisdom, and open paths. So I got a little board here. It's going to help us remember kind of where we're at. Right now, we are talking about pray. The first thing to know God's will is to pray. You got to pray about God's will. If you aren't praying and asking God to give you direction, you are missing God's direction in your life. You should be praying, God, how should I handle this situation? God, where do you want me to go today? James chapter 1, verse 5 says it this way. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. It will be given to you. So what's the probability that if you ask God for wisdom, he's going to give it to you? 100%. It will. That's a promise from God. It will be given to you. And then, you know, if you're like Joey, you're like, yeah, but what if I'm a really bad person? Well, it doesn't matter because he does it without finding fault. I'm just joking. Joey's not a bad guy. Joey's a great guy. But if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, even if you're Joey, because God gives it to anybody without finding fault. You guys should be asking God for wisdom. What about what direction to go in life? Psalm 143 says, let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, God. I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go. Hear that? Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life. If you don't know the way to go, ask God for the way to go. Show me, God, I'm trusting you with my life. And if you really don't know what to pray, you got to know that when you believed in Jesus Christ, you received the Holy Spirit. If you've ever said, okay, God, I repent of my sin. I want to receive forgiveness. I choose to follow you today, Lord. Have you ever done that? You've received the Holy Spirit from God. And when you don't even know what to pray, or if you're praying the wrong thing, you know what the Bible says about that? Romans chapter 8. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. What does the wordless groans thing mean? It means you're not going to hear the Holy Spirit doing this, but the Holy Spirit is going to go to God the Father on your behalf if you believe in Jesus, and he's going to pray to God for you when you don't even know what to pray. So be praying about what God wants you to do, what risk you should take, where you should go, and the Holy Spirit will guide you. Do you know, I pray before I decided to preach on every single week. I got my prayer. Okay, God. Even when we were in the series of Mark, which we're going to get back to, and we're like on week 45, like it's pretty clear what we're supposed to talk about next week. It's the next verse in the Bible. But I'd still pray, God, what should we preach on next week? And that's why we ended up in this mini series. I felt like God wanted us to step out for a minute. Right? Every week I pray, and I don't pick the sermon until I feel like the Holy Spirit tells me. If I got to go confront someone about something, I'll often pray, God, how do I approach this? Like, please tell me something to tell them so this can be handled well. I remember a time where a friend was about to make a really bad decision. Really bad. I mean, he thought it was the best decision he'd ever made, but it was not good. And I was like, okay, God, I got to go tell him that he's about to make the wrong choice for his life. And start praying. I'm like, God, please help me to know how to tell him. And God actually says to me, no. I'm like, well, God, I got to tell him because this is a really bad decision. And God says, no, again. And I'm like, but God, this doesn't make sense. He needs to know. And as I continued to pray, God gave me some really specific things to know. But suffice it to say, the basic idea was, if you say anything to him today about this, he will never be friends with you again. I was like, oh, okay, that's kind of weird, but okay, Lord, I feel like you're telling me this. So I didn't say anything. I went to lunch with him, and I just sat there and listened to him talk, and he showed up angry. And he told me about, I'm making this decision, and you know, I'm glad you didn't tell me no, man. Everyone's telling me no, and I got to tell you something. The next person who tells me no, I'm cutting them out of my life. This guy was angry, and God knew it, and I didn't. And I would have gone in there with my flamethrower and ruined the friendship. Good to know the guy's doing okay now. He's back. God brought him through it. But what's interesting is that we need to be praying about what God wants us to do more often. I think that's a big principle. But when we read this Bible verse about Paul's plans, did we see much in there about Paul praying? We really didn't. We didn't see Paul saying, I plan on going to Macedonia and then I'll come visit you, but I'm going to pray about it first. Was that in there? No. Which is weird because we all pray for that. God, where should we go? What should you want me to do? And I think the idea is, and I've said it before, I'll say it again, God is more concerned with how you go than where you go. Okay, I'm going to say it again. God is more concerned with how you go than where you go. If you want to move to the other side of the world and become a missionary, great, go for it, but you better do it in a way that honors God. If you want to stay at your current job and work there, that's great, but you better do it in a way that honors God. God's very concerned with how you do things, not always with where you do them. I want you to imagine for a moment you're a doctor, you're a surgeon. You're in the emergency room, and at the same moment, a 10-year-old boy gets wheeled in, and a mother of four kids gets wheeled in. There was a drive-by shooter. They've both been shot in the stomach, and they're both bleeding out. You've got to make a decision, and you got to make it now. These are two equally valuable people. And so you rush over to the boy, and then you think about it. Ah, he's got four kids. So you run back over there, and but he's an actual kid. You run back and forth, and you can't make a decision for 20 minutes. You're frozen. And then you finally, okay, I'm going to operate on the boy. And you're in such a panic now. You're hurried because you've wasted so much time. And you go in to do surgery, but you clip an artery, and now he bleeds out and dies, and now they're both dead. Why are they both dead? Because you just didn't make a decision when you should have just made a decision. Our world is full of hurting people, people who don't know Jesus. And God is more concerned that you go and help than where you go to help. Do something. Jesus actually was giving a sermon, and he said it this way: the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Look at the difference there. There's a lot of harvest, but there's not anyone to do the work. Like a farmer who has fields full of corn just ready to be harvested, but he can't harvest it and no one will come work for him. So the corn just dies. That's what Jesus is saying the world is like. There's plenty of people who could come to faith in God, who could go to heaven, whose life would be changed. But very few people are willing to go tell them. Very few people are willing to do anything about it. Too many people won't work in the kingdom of God. You should be one of the people who say, I'm going to take a risk. I'm going to do it because risk is right. And Paul, just like all Christians, he knows he has to serve the Lord. And so we say, you got to start by praying. He knows risk is right. And he knows prayer's there. So Paul, you know what Paul prays about? He doesn't always pray about where to go, but you know what he prays about? He prays about, help me to be effective when I go. Help me to serve well when I go. Help people to be open to what I say when I go. You want to take the risk of leading a Bible study at your work? Well, don't just run back and forth like, should I or shouldn't I? Should I or shouldn't I for the next 12 years? Just do it and pray that God makes it successful. Pray that people are open to the word of God there. You want to become a missionary? Okay, go for it. Pray. God, you want to become a missionary or not? But as much as you pray, you should prepare. Take the risk for God. Paul makes lots of plans. We read them. I mean, look at some of these plans. This is the next verse. For I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. There's a plan. I hope to spend some time with you. He said, if the Lord permits, but I will stay on at Ephesus until the day of Pentecost. So he's got all kinds of plans in here. He's like, I'm going to do this. I want to do that. I'm not going there, but I will go here. I'm going to stay until this day. Just look at this. Paul's making his own plans for ministry based on what he thinks is a good idea. He's not sitting in prayer for 7 years about it. He made all kinds of plans and journeys. In fact, here's a little map of Paul's missionary journeys. Just look at this. I mean, this is crazy. He started in like 44 AD in Antioch, and then he went from Antioch to Syria, to Seleucia, to Cyprus, to Salmonellus, sounds like Salmonella. Then he went to Paphos, and in Paphos he met a sorcerer, and he cursed the guy, so the guy went blind until he gave his life to Jesus. Like, and then he went to Pergamum, then he went to Antioch again, then he went to Iconium, where he was stoned, almost died. Then he went to Derbe, then he went to Syria. All the while he's sharing the message of Jesus, everywhere he went. Every city he went to, whether they beat him up, tried to kill him, whether there was a sorcerer attacking him, he would say, I'm here to tell you about Jesus, because Jesus fulfilled all the prophecies in the Bible, every one of them. And then when he did that, you guys killed him. And he was dead for 3 days, but then he rose from the dead because he was actually God on earth. And why did he allow himself to be killed? He allowed himself to be killed because you and I are sinners and someone had to pay the price for our sin. And Jesus was punished because of you and me and our sin. And when Jesus died, if you believe that he paid the price for your sin, you don't have to pay the price for it. You're free. That was his message wherever he went. We share that message every week here. It's so important. In fact, if you've heard that message and you realize, you know what? I do need to give my life to God. I do need that freedom from my sin. There's those red cards in that chair in front of you. You need to mark on one of them that you're ready to get baptized and put them in one of those red boxes. This is the most important message of the entire world, the gospel. And that's why Paul went from here to here to there to there to there to there, all over the place, getting stoned and beaten up. But the idea was Paul never said, God, is it a good idea for me to go to a city and tell people about you? What did he do? He just knew it was a good idea, so he made a plan and went. His prayer was about how he did it, not whether he should do it. He made a plan and he went. Let's write this down. Plan. Paul makes plans on how to do what he believes will be effective ministry. Effective ministry. Paul said, the people in that town need Jesus, so I'm going to tell them. That was his plan. What are you waiting for? You waiting for God to give you a sign to go tell someone about Jesus? God, here's a map of Salina. There's a light on a house. I'll go find that house. That is not going to happen to you. Well, it might. But it's 99% likely not going to happen to you, okay? And even if it did, even if God gave you a sign, let me tell you something about signs. Some of you know what phrase I'm going to say right now. If you know what phrase I'm going to say, feel free to say it with me, okay? Signs are shady. They're shady. You never really know what they mean unless God's super clear about it. Here's what I mean about signs are shady. If you go to God, God, should I quit my job to become a missionary? And then all of a sudden, your boss kicks the door open. You need to work a lot harder or get the heck out of here. Whoa, that's a pretty clear sign. Or is it? Is that God giving you a sign that you should leave the job because the boss is like, you should get out of here? Or is that a clear sign that you should stay because the boss is like, you need to work harder? Signs are shady. I can't tell you over the last 30 years how many times as a pastor someone's been to me, come to me and be like, I'm going to ask God for a sign. I'm like, well, there's a stop sign at the end of the road. You might want to consider that one. What about when the light turns green? What then? Like, signs are shady. If you're waiting for God to give you some great sign, let it be right now. The Bible already told you to go and tell people about Jesus. That's the sign you're looking for, right? Paul doesn't ask for signs. He prays for wisdom, he makes a plan, and then he gets his butt off the couch and goes. He pushes really hard. Look at the next verse, 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians 16, verse 6. Perhaps, he says, I will stay with you for a while, even spend the winter, so that you can help me on my journey. I think this is interesting. My youngest kid will often say to me, Dad, will you call them and ask if I can come over to their house? I'm like, bro, you cannot invite yourself over to someone's house. He's like, why not? Okay, I'm trying to train him on these social rules, but Paul didn't know that rule, did he? Paul's like, I'm going to be coming to visit you. I will be there approximately 4 months, and you will help me when I arrive. Thank you, period. And send the letter, right? I'm like, bro, you can't do that. He's like, oh, I did it. Why? Because when Paul made a plan to share the news of Jesus, he also pushed. And get ready to write down the next blank, because that's what we're talking about now. Paul pushed. It's up here. Push. Paul just pushed hard, working nonstop, was bold, and fought wild beasts. Right, he was bold, and he fought wild beasts. I'll show you what I mean. So this next, my gosh, where's the verse? Is it up there? Okay, thanks. I appreciate you, Tech Crew. Tech Crew doesn't get enough recognition for my ADHD self. All right, 1 Corinthians 15, I fought wild beasts in Ephesus, Paul says. So he made a prayer, he made a plan, and then he pushed like crazy. And what did he do when he pushed? He fought wild beasts. If you go read the book of 2 Corinthians, you'll find out he was in shipwreck, and then another one. And then the town beat him, left him for dead. People persecuted him. People lied about him. People tried to kill him over and over, and that never stopped him. He pushed hard. Here's what we get from that. Don't let a difficulty tell you that God isn't with you. Don't let a difficulty tell you that God isn't with you. Whatever Paul did, that dude pushed, man. He prayed, he planned, he pushed, and he didn't quit. Look at this next verse. I think I'm actually ready for verse 7 now. I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. I hope to spend some time with you if the Lord permits. We're going to talk about that in just a second. If the Lord permits. So he's praying. He's planning. He's pushing. Then he says, as long as the Lord permits. That's an interesting phrase. He's got the plan, but he knows the plan might change. Let's write this one down. This is the pivot. When it was clear his plan needed to change, Paul accepts the Holy Spirit's direction and pivots. He moves, he pivots. What does that look like? So I'm on a Facebook group for pastors and worship leaders, and someone posted a comment in there. They're like, what should I do? Because the worship leader at our church doesn't pick songs for Sunday morning until Saturday night. It's too late. We can't prepare. So there's this big debate. And a lot of the people are saying, that's great. He shouldn't pick songs until Saturday night. In fact, it'd be better if he waited until Sunday morning to pick them, or even after church starts, because then it's all the Holy Spirit leading him on what songs to play. Okay. Their opinion was that if you have a human plan, you can write this down, that hinders what the Holy Spirit's trying to do, that stops what God's trying to do if you have a plan, right? That's one opinion. Other people are saying, dude, it's inappropriate to wait until Saturday night. You got to make better plans than that. You should pick the song weeks ahead of time. We need to like have this documented, and we need a 30-page report on why each song fits with the sermon. And like they wanted as much preparation as possible. The further ahead, the better. And their idea was that human plans honor the Holy Spirit. Right? The more you prepare, the more you honor God, because you're not just winging it. Well, which one is it? I think there's a third way, a way that kind of brings in both of these. And the third way that we're going to talk about is the thing that I think you see Paul doing, and the thing I think we see in Scripture over and over. It agrees with both of these statements, and it's this one. Human plans honor, but can be changed by the Holy Spirit. In other words, I think Paul prays, he makes a plan, he pushes hard, so he's got a human plan in mind, and he goes for it. But as soon as God changes things for him, he's willing to change his plan as well. I think this would be how you live. If you make a plan and you're trying to tell someone about God or do what God wants you to do, you push as hard as you can. But if God stops you or moves you in a different direction, be willing to go with it, just like Paul. Take your risk for God, but be willing to change directions, pivot, when the Holy Spirit wants you to pivot. Look again at Paul's journeys. So, you know, Paul was in Rome. He was over here. He was in part of Asia and Galatia and Macedonia. And I mean, he was all over the place. On his second journey, he went from Syria, this is like 51 AD, from Syria to Lystra to Phrygia to Galatia. And then he says this interesting thing. He planned to go to Asia even more. He says, but the Holy Spirit stopped me from going into Asia. So where did he go instead? He ended up at this little town called Corinth. Now, Paul had great plans, but God changed his plans, and God had something better in mind. Sometimes people feel like a failure if their plans don't work out. And I get it. Some of you might feel like a failure because you had a plan. You were going in a certain direction. You were pushing hard, and then it didn't work out. It's possible that it just messed up. It didn't work. It's also possible that God stopped that plan from happening because God had something better or different in mind. So what was it for Paul? Well, I think you should take your risks to God. You should pray, and you should push, and you should go hard. But if the Holy Spirit stops you, don't say, I'm a failure. Say, okay, God is moving me somewhere else. I think God loves when you take a risk. I think God loves the fact that Paul was trying to go to Asia. Now, God had something else in mind, and Paul, as a human, and his friends might have said, that was a fail. You tried to go to Asia, and that was a fail, but it wasn't a fail. He might have said, what will people think? I raised money to go to Asia. I told people I was going to Asia. Everyone's going to think I'm stupid, and there's so many people in Asia who need Jesus. Why didn't my plan work? But was it a failure? And I told you, instead of going to Asia, Paul ended up in a little town called Corinth. Instead of going to Asia, Paul ended up in this town called Corinth. He started a church there. And that church was so messed up. It required Paul to write multiple letters to them over the next decades. And Paul might have said, I'm a failure because I didn't go to Asia. I'm a failure because the church I started is the most...
Well, friends, that's all the time we have on air for today. If you want to hear the rest of this sermon, hop on over to revo.church. That's revo.church. And you can find this sermon on our front page. Just go there, click on watch, and you can watch it on YouTube or listen to the audio. It's up to you. If you'd like to join us in person or watch online, you can go over to revo.church and find out more information about when and where we meet. I hope to meet you soon.